Praise the Lord. Would you like to stand with me as we share our confession this morning? Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, nice and loud. I am the salt of the earth.
I am the salt of the earth.
Therefore, I release the rivers of living water.
For the healing of nations,
I will stand in the gap. For this nation, for my church, and for my family. Thank you, Lord, for raising me up for such a time as this. My life matters. I will make a difference. For Jesus Christ is alive in me. Now, Father, we thank you this morning that indeed we are the salt of the earth, that you will, O God, through us, release rivers of living water for the people of this city and the nation and the world. We thank you, Lord, that there is a flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will break every yoke and lift every burden. I thank you this morning, Lord God, that in this very room, burdens are being lifted right now. Yokes are being broken. People's lives are being healed. They're being changed and challenged. I thank you right now, Lord God, that this word's going to come forth and it's going to penetrate the hearts of your people. Change us, Lord. Stir us up. Cause us to be excited about what you're doing on the earth. Let us, oh God, get in the stream and that we might, Father, contribute to the plan of God on this earth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We want to go right to Joel chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to start a new series this morning on the book of Joel. And the book of Joel was written to the righteous remnant within the nation of Israel. Know this, that God throughout history always worked with a remnant. That means not everybody responds to God. And not everybody gets in line or alignment with the plan of God. So don't get alarmed by that. You know, a lot of people, they ask me from time to time, they'll say, why isn't it that everybody's not plugged in? Or why is it that so-and-so is doing this and now they're not doing that? I said, listen, God always works with a righteous remnant. So just make sure you're in the circle of revival. Amen. Pray for those that are not. But look at Joel with me, chapter 1 and verse 1. It reads this way, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. In other words, in the time of Joel, we're going to take a break there from that, on that verse. In the time of Joel, there was something so astounding taking place that it had never occurred before in the history of that people. And he said, I want you to tell your children what's going on. But I don't want you to stop there. I want you to tell your children's children. But don't stop there. I want you to tell the next generation as well. Because this is a significant event. So ladies and gentlemen, we ought to really get in touch with what the Holy Spirit is speaking through this prophet called Joel. Verse 3 tells us to tell the generations. Verse 4, what the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locusts left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. And what was going on? Joel took opportunity for a natural disaster that took place in Israel to speak prophetically to a people. There were four stages of locusts, or those that are in that family, caterpillar, that devastated the land. The first phase came in and literally ate the grain off the stalk. The second wave that came in ate the stalk. The third wave that came in ate the stubble that was left after the grain and the stalk was eaten. The fourth that came in literally went underground and ate the root system. So God said, have you ever seen such devastation before? Tell your children. And so Joel was speaking to a generation. Joel was speaking to a generation this. Listen to the words of the Lord. Prosperity is dangerous. Now, we want to increase. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Psalm 115, verse 14. I've been saying it 10 times a day for the next 40 days. I'm going to believe God with it. But let me tell you something. It comes with a warning. Prosperity is dangerous. And here's the reason why. Israel at this time had become so prosperous. They had become so affluent. They had everything they could want. They began to neglect the house of the Lord. They began to neglect prayer. They began to neglect worship. They began to neglect sacrifice. They began to neglect all the things of the house of the Lord. And God said, wait a minute. I am not going to permit that to happen because that is an offense to me. And so the Lord sent these swarming locusts to the land, which literally devastated all of Israel. And in an instant, everything they had was gone. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth. Now, this particular book was written in a time of a great apostasy, as I've already declared a few minutes earlier. And as a result, they turned their eyes off of the Lord and began to turn them on themselves and what they possessed. Israel's spirit in this time and in this moment of preaching by this prophet spent its time and expending its energy in pursuit of pleasure rather than preserving the nations surrounding it. Israel spent its time and its energy frolicking and having fun rather than flavoring the lives of others with the message of hope. Israel expended its time and its energy in having high times rather than standing in the gap and hindering the advance of evil. And the Lord began to speak to a nation and said, I want you to stop what you're doing and turn again to me. Now, this is a very solemn message. T and I were praying this morning and we were sitting in our very comfortable living room. And the Lord prompted me to be thankful for all that we have. And how in ancient times we would live today better than kings and queens on earth. As just an average middle class American. Even those today who may live with government assistance still live better than kings and queens of ancient history. And so it's easy for us to get our eyes off of what we should be thankful for and put our eyes on what we yet don't possess and feel as though that bigger is better, more is a tribute to God's blessing on my life, and we expend our time and our energy in pursuing pleasure rather than the power of God. Now, Joel was written to the believers in Israel because, you see, those that didn't believe wouldn't respond to the message. A nation is never condemned by God because of its immorality. And I want us to understand something. It is wrong. Immoral acts are wrong, but God doesn't judge nations because there are immoralities taking place. And so many people during the last Hurricane Katrina would point fingers and say, New Orleans is being judged by God because of its immorality. And I would contend with that. Because I don't believe God judges nations because of its immorality, but it comes under judgment when the salt in that nation loses its savor. So all of a sudden now, it's really not the people around me that's sinning. It's the righteous remnant that isn't salty. That's why judgment comes upon a people, upon a city, upon a nation. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 tells us that we are indeed the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? I want to make a statement this morning. Christians are the salt of the earth. And there are three things that I want to share with you this morning about salt. Number one, it preserves. Number two, it flavors. And number three, it hinders. And those are very important properties of salt in relationship to what you and I have been called to do on this earth. I don't know that we realize or recognize the authority and the power that we possess on this planet. You see, in ancient times, there were no refrigerators. There were no freezers to hang beef on a hook. And so what the ancients would do is take salt and rub it into the meat. And by rubbing salt into the meat, it would preserve it from decay. And Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. I want you to look at 2 Chronicles with me, chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and do what? Heal their land. How many believe America needs healed? That's pretty weak. How many believe America needs healed? God said, if my people will seek me and pray, if they'll focus on me, turn from their wicked ways. He wasn't talking about the sinner. He wasn't talking about the people that live next door to you, don't go to church. He was talking about us. If my people. And so the connotation is this. If we will turn and seek the face of God, God will heal our land. So I believe revival and the move of God is not necessarily in the sovereign hands of a God, but a sovereign God is put in the hands of a righteous remnant on the earth. So if we seek the Lord with all of our hearts, strength, and might, we can see the healing of our land. Look at Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. It reads this way. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Did you hear that? I sought for one man who would stand in the gap between judgment and salvation of the land. But I couldn't find anybody. Listen, the connotation is this. One person seeking the face of God, committed to standing in the gap, would have saved an entire nation. Wow. One prayer warrior. One righteous believer. I want you to understand something about your life. You have great authority on this earth. As a believer, we possess a great responsibility on this earth. Ezekiel says, I sought for one man, but couldn't find one. Go back to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 23. Genesis chapter 18. And look at verse 23. Abraham was now pleading his case before God. And he stood before the Lord, and in verse 23, he came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom, now I don't have to go into definition to help you understand what sodomy is, do I? The despicable acts and the immoral, perverted acts of this particular city. So much so that they nearly crushed a door of Lot to get at the two men that they might know them or have relations with them. This is how perverted they were. Here's what God said. If I find 50 who are righteous, if I find 50, he said, I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed, now I am but dust and ashes and have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than 50. What if there were only 45, God? Would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I'll not destroy it. Again, he spoke to him and he said, suppose there would be 40 there. He said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak. Suppose 30 be found there. He said, well, I'll tell you what. I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be there. And he said, I'll not destroy it for the sake of 20. Now, if I may, can I have this first row stand up? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Second row, please. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and then two right here, 19 and 20. Would you mind standing? God said, if I can just find that many people in a city of probably 200,000 or more, just that many, I will not destroy it. Stay standing with me for just a moment. And then he said, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. So if I may, please ask you to sit. Would you please sit? Would you please sit? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Would you please sit? Just this many. Lord, if I find 10 in that city, would you spare it? And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Now, why did Abraham stop at 10? Everybody, please sit except Minister James. According to God's word in Ezekiel 22, if God finds a man, if God finds one righteous, I don't care where you are, I don't care what land you're found in. You could be in the darkest of Africa. You could be in the forest of the East. You could be in the Middle East. You could be in southern United States. You could be in Manhattan. I don't care where you are. If God finds one, he said, I will spare the entire city. Now look at somebody and say, you are the salt of the earth. Church, I want us to understand something about the authority that we carry. I want us to understand something about the power that God has given to us on the earth. as being the salt of the earth. Hezekiah, under great attack, was one man, took his petition before the Lord and laid it out, and God, because of one man's prayer, stayed judgment upon Israel. And often we think, well, I don't know, my prayers don't mean much. God, you know, I mean, what am I? I'm just one person. I don't even really know how to pray. But if you can live right, love everybody, and pray hard, you'd be a righteous person on the earth who has the authority to stay judgment upon a region because of the righteousness that you exhibit upon that land. I believe right now, and I declare this, I believe this, God is raising up righteous remnants upon the earth. Why? Otherwise, we'd already been crisps. Has it not been for the righteous on the earth, the Antichrist would have already taken over. Had it not been for the righteous remnant in your family. Doesn't even say that the believing wife sanctifies the unbelieving husband. Some of the men that maybe need to hear this tape, maybe you're here today and you've been dragged to church. I'm going to tell you why you're blessed, because your wife serves God. I'm going to tell you why your business is increasing, because there is a salty, righteous Christian who got it hired and now their business is expanding. Anywhere there is a salt, there light, anywhere there's the righteousness of God, it brings the blessing of the Lord upon that place. You see, when I got this revelation, the first thing I did was I emailed one of our military boys over in Iraq, and I said, you are the salt of the earth. Let me tell you something about who you are. The reason why you're there is that's because the judgment, it will not come upon that region. No weapon formed against you will prosper, because God found a righteous man. Live righteous. You live righteous, and God will honor your life no matter where you go. Because he finds righteousness on the earth. Let me tell you something about America's blessing. And I know the liberals don't want to hear this. Some of the conservatives don't either, but I'm going to say it anyway. They don't. Because we're being... It's just my opinion, and I could be wrong. I've been wrong a few times in my life. Multiple times every day. But it's just my opinion. It doesn't matter what party is in the White House as to what blessing you have on the job. I like what people do. They put bumper stickers and say, don't blame me, I voted for Kerry. Well, that would have changed things. Do we really think we control life? Do we really think by underwriting the expense of the big party thrown in Washington, D.C., that we're either going to have prosperity or we're going to have lack? Even the church beginning to believe this. Well, we got to vote a Democrat in. We got to vote a Republican in. Listen to me. Vote righteousness in. Vote righteousness. It's a force. It's the authority of God on the earth. I don't care what senator is voted in. I don't care what congressperson is voted in. You say, well, you should. Yeah, well, okay, I do for the sake of sanctity of life and the, you know, marriage between one man and one woman and all of those things. Yes, I'm going to look at the platforms. But let me tell you something. Them being voted in does not change or cause blessing to come upon America. As much as George Bush wants to take credit for the fact that his tax deductions and reductions have brought a boost to our economy, he can say what he wants to say. But listen, it may have assisted and God may have used that decision, but not based on his political agenda, but based upon if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. Hallelujah. So church, let's focus on the priority. Salt will preserve a nation. Salt will preserve a city. And salt will flavor a life. Go to Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6 and verse 6. Paul and Sue Jordan are sitting in here this morning and they are constantly trying to get me to eat egg whites. This is a scripture just for the two of you. Are you ready? Job 6 and 6. Can flavorless food be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? Woo! The answer is no. Pass the salt. Sea salt, that is. You got to have fun with nutrition. You know, I just have a little sidebar here. I'm enrolled in Sue's nutrition class, and it's incredible of all the things I never learned in health class. Now, how many remember going to school and having health class? Yeah. What did you learn? I don't remember learning anything. Maybe wash your hands. I don't know. I'm trying to think. But I'm finding out now about foods that our bodies were not created to consume and assimilate. And as a result, when you eat those certain kind of foods, they attach themselves either to your colon or your arteries and make them hard. You say, well, what's the big deal? I mean, I'll worry about that when I'm old. Stick around long enough and you'll get there. But the scripture says, do I have to eat egg whites without salt? You know, I was trying to be really healthy, so I bought some of this protein mix. It's chocolate, and it had all kinds of artificial sweeteners in it, and it was great. So I made it up. I thought, boy, I'm going to drink some protein. I'll be strong like a bull. So I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's fluffy. It's creamy. It's like, wow, these are great. So I go to the class, and guess what? You can't have those. I've learned something about nutrition. Anything that tastes good, you're not allowed to eat. That's not true. It's not true. Salt flavors. And there's nothing more disappointing, especially to my wife, when she asks somebody to pass the salt, and we do, and it's empty. The outward appearance is there. There are even some salt granules that's attached to the top from the moisture, and it appears as though there's content is there. But when you tip the little shaker and you give it a little action, there's no result. I think the Bible talks a little about that in the end times. That there will be a people on the earth who have the form of a salt shaker, but deny the power to change the lives of others. See, God has called us as flavoring on the earth. God has called us to flavor our marriage, to flavor our relationships with our children, to flavor those that are around us, because we bring an additive that takes the bland out of life. And if we are the salt of the earth, let me ask this question. What is salt? Okay, we're the salt of the earth. What is salt? So the word of the Lord tells us in Colossians. Turn there and we'll take a look at it, what salt is. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. I said, Lord, what is salt? And so I get the word, and here's what it says in verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Oh, okay. So now I know that my mouth is the shaker. My mouth is the shaker, but what is the salt? All right, I'm going to look at this again. Let your speech always be with grace. My words are the shaker, but my words have to be what? Seasoned with salt. The word of God, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. In other words, when I'm speaking to you, if it's seasoned with salt, I am sharing the word to you. I am speaking the word to you. I am speaking the word over my business. I am speaking the word over my marriage. What am I doing? I'm adding flavor to it. I'm taking the bland out of my day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a good day. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in and going out. What are you doing? I'm just passing the salt, baby. Because I refuse to live my life in a bland, artificial way. I want my life filled and seasoned with salt. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we can flavor the lives of people around us. You know, there's an old song that we used to sing, Twist and Shout. Do you remember that song, some of you? Shake it up, baby. Twist and shout. Woo! Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, baby. You know, some of us, that's the cry of your spouse. Shake it up, baby. Now, I'm not talking about what you're thinking right now. I'm talking about putting some salt on your words. Shake up the salt on your words. Flavor my life with I love you. You're awesome. You're the apple of God's eye. You're the head and not the tail. You're victorious through Christ. My God shall supply all your needs according to your riches in glory. We ought to walk around shaking salt on everybody and everything that we come in contact with. So you can say, man, I'm living a good life. I'm living a good life. But you can't shake or put salt on something if the shaker is empty. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to fill our lives with the word every day. You see, the more salt that's in a city, the more favorable the atmosphere will be. I believe that with all my heart. The more salt in the city, the more favor will be on that city. That's why you and I have got to speak the word over this city. We can't give up on this city. Let me just take you on a little history lesson for those of you that have just joined us in recent years. Some years ago, maybe 15, 18 years ago, I don't really recall how long ago it was, there was a issue on the ordinance that had to be voted for. Was called Issue 19. And that Issue 19 was a decency ordinance that prohibited nude dancing in our city. And it was one of the only in the country of its strength and of its verbiage. And our church embraced that, among other churches. We embraced that. We spent our own donations to produce Pass Issue 19 signs, put them on every corner of the city. Some of you remember that. We went door to door and passed out information about it, and it was overwhelmingly passed 3-1 that Lorraine would have this decency ordinance, and it still stands today. I don't know if you remember when casinos first tried to come into Lorraine in the mid-80s. Was it mid-80s or late 80s? And the team of entrepreneurs who had a lot of money and a lot of authority and a lot of power attempted to build a casino down by the Black River in Lorraine. And we, in our, you know, innocence and naivety, we kind of got a bus together and put a bunch of salt shakers on it and went to Columbus. And there we appeared before state legislators. And we began to declare to them the word of the Lord. And I remember making a statement that was put in the headlines the next day. I talked about the decency of this community, and I talked about the hard work upon the backs of those who had been migrated to this area and worked in the mills and built this community. And I said, you know, it's sort of like taking a piece of meat and lacing it with poison and feeding it to a hungry lion. It's inhumane. Well, that ended up being in the paper the next day. And after we finished our meeting, the team of entrepreneurs came rushing toward me as if they were going to choke me. Blood red face. I talked to my priest. He said, there's nothing wrong with this. Blah, 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 blah. But I want you to know there is a thing called Harbor Walk or Harbor Town. What's it called, Mark? You guys live down there. And I haven't seen a casino lately, have you? You know why there's no casino there? Because one righteous, not me, but one righteous will stand in the gap and say, Lord, we don't want that here. Lord, I believe that righteousness ought to prevail in a city. Listen, it wasn't a matter of our decision to sell this 65 acres. God determined and purposed that we would get the 65 acres and know that the only way that that property could be developed was to put it in our hands and to allow the anointing of God to flow through us. So that we could now sell the property and they could build the retail outlets that will create 1,000 jobs to our city and create the income necessary for the infrastructure. You see, God has a plan for those that will flavor life. God will allow things to be challenged by the saltiness of our speech and by our words. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not finished yet. We've seen the victory over casinos. We've seen the victory over decency and indecency. We've seen the victory over the financial and economic revival. For the first time, listen to this, in 3 decades. Everybody say 3 decades. Lorraine's population is increased. The first time in 3 decades, it's increased, which is going to bring $1.8 or $3 million more dollars to the city next year. You say, why is that important? Because it's beginning to rain prosperity. It's beginning to come back to the region. How do we know? When we begin to speak the word of the Lord, when we begin to spread salt, when we begin to flavor the region. But there's one more area. And you're going to be hearing a lot from me about this. God spoke to us this week. Not only has he called us to have impartation to young people, people like those that were sitting up here today. I want to hang out with them. I want them to catch my spirit. I want them to rub elbows with me. I want them to hang out with the speakers after camp meeting. I want them to come and know that they are the church, not going to be the church. But God said, yeah, not only that, but the teens, the students in this ministry, they need to realize that as well. And God said, but I don't want you to stop there. You see, George Barna just wrote a book, and he said that children ages 2 to 9 are the targeted area of the secular liberals of this generation who are trying to indoctrinate them into ungodly and immoral lifestyles, who are trying to impose curricula into our school system that will teach them anti-God ways of life. And the Lord spoke to us and said, I want you to go after the children from 2 to 9 and embrace them as closely as you do those that are 13 to 18 and those that as closely as 18 to 28. And I want you to impart my spirit in you in them. And here's what God said. It's time for us to quit saying and letting the media say that it's nice and affordable living and housing in Lorraine, but you don't want to send your kids to the school system. And if God can hold back a casino, if God can hold back immorality and nude dancing, if God can sell property that should never have been sold and bring 1,000 jobs, then God can take our words, our salt, our flavor, and we can begin investing into the Lorraine City school system, and we can see a difference. And there will be a day, mark my words, there will be a day when people will say, I'd rather have my kids in Lorraine schools than Amherst, Westlake, Avon Lake, anywhere else in Northeastern Ohio. It only will happen if we will flavor the system. If it takes innovative things to do, if it takes innovative creative means, if we have to have boarding schools in Lorraine, where kids just don't come home and go back into their situation, they come and they live with people who are committed to their successes. Then let it be. Whatever it takes, let's be trendsetters. Let's not give up on a region. Let's not say, oh, well, there was only 10. Take them to hell, God. Who cares? No. If there's one righteous voice on the earth, we can see God's hand of judgment be spared, and it can be turned around for the glory of God. I've got to hurry. Salt will hinder. Salt will hinder. In the ancient world, when one nation conquered the other, they would plow salt into the ground. Listen to me now. And it prevented the land from producing its crops over again. In other words, the sustenance of that land was destroyed for many years because of the plowing in and working in of salt. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and He said, listen, you may have come to Christ as a drunk. You may have come to Christ as a person who is addicted to pornography. You may have come to Christ as a person who has to deal with your pride and your arrogance. You may have come to Christ with issues of emotional pain and suffering that haunt you every day of your life. However, once Christ has conquered your heart, let Him do what the ancients did. Let Him take salt and plow it into your heart so that crop of drunkenness will never rise again. So that crop of adultery will never raise its ugly head again. So that crop of addiction will never bring pain and suffering to your life again. Salt being the word of the living God. That's why it's so important for us to get the word into our belly and plow it into our hearts so we know without a doubt that this thing will never come back again because it's been conquered by Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the only hope of a generation. Today, we need to break up the fallow ground and plow salt into our hearts. It's the same salt that looses and preserves and flavors, also binds. The Bible said to lose our savor, we become good for nothing. I said, God, I don't want to become a good for nothing Christian. I want to be a person who is counted. I want to be a person who makes a difference. I want to be a person who flavors others' lives. I want to be a person who hinders the onslaught of evil. I want to be a person who preserves life and brings hope to a generation. And this is what God was speaking to the nation of Israel during the time of Joel. He said, when you lose your savior, you're only good for one thing, to be tread upon by the foot of man. Think about it. And Luke 10:19 tells us we ought to be treading upon serpents. And now the very people who ought to be doing the treading are being tread upon. It's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to lift up. It's time for us to declare that we have been made free by the power of Christ. And that we are the salt of the earth and that we are world changers. My God, this was so prophetic to me this morning to see one who has a queen, one who's a world changer, one who has the wisdom of God to declare and defend truth. It could have been any baby up here this morning. Hear the word of the Lord, church. Hear the voice of God speaking to us today. You see, it didn't matter to Israel anymore about the wine being cut off and about the grain being cut off because they hadn't offered a sacrifice for years. They haven't poured out a drink offering in the temple for years. They haven't prayed for years. They hadn't read their Bibles for years. I contend with us today. I want to challenge every person in this room. Don't you put your Bible down. You say, well, I'm going through trouble. Don't you put your Bible down. Don't you walk away from the house of God. Don't you stop sacrificing and giving to the Lord financially and in your servant attitude. Don't you do that. Don't let prosperity catch your eye. Don't walk away from the blessings of the Lord. But today, let us be a righteous remnant on the earth. Let us join hand in hand. Let us believe and stand shoulder to shoulder that we can see Lorraine become that epicenter of revival on the earth. That we can stand and renew our pledge, renew our minds, renew our heart's commitment to see the glory of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There's coming a day. Hear the word of the Lord. There's a coming day where there will be a great apostasy. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, my last scripture, and I promise to close with this. And I pray the Holy Spirit began to speak to your heart. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Listen to what it says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. There's a restraining power on this earth. There's a restraining element in your neighborhood. I'm telling you, church, you don't realize the authority you carry. That person you live next door to, they could have already murdered their spouse or strangled one of their children. They could have taken that overdose last night, but that God placed you next door to them. You don't know what kind of influence you're having. Your very aura, your very presence on the job. You don't understand that you're hindering evil from taking over that company. Your presence is flavoring the lives of others who are having hopeless nights and sleepless nights and wondering if anybody cares. Your presence flavors and says there is a God who cares. When the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. But the scripture says in verse 7 that that man of lawlessness cannot be revealed until he be taken out of the way. He is talking about the righteous. I know a lot of people are anxious about Israel right now. And I know those of you that said you're going with me, we're praying and asking God. But right now, if it's like this, we can't go. But you know what? Don't get worried. People are already saying, well, World War III. What if Iran does this? What if Syria does that? Maybe the Antichrist will take over. Wait a minute, we're still here. He has limited power so long as we walk on this earth. Hallelujah. If I was in war, if I was in the middle of battle, I'll tell you who I want in my foxhole. No. Not the most experienced sergeant and not the guy that's the marksman. I want a believer. I want a Holy Ghost believer next to me. Why? Because that's salt. That's preserving power right there, baby. Hang with me. I'm telling you, don't you get nervous on this earth tonight. Don't you get nervous. God's got a plan, and we're right in the middle of it. And this is the day when you and I have got to embrace our destiny. This is a moment when we got to begin getting bold in the Lord. We need to take people by the hand and say, come on, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Let's get our stirred up spirit. Let's put salt on our egg whites. I'm telling you, church, this is the moment. And all across this building this morning, I've been praying for your response. I don't need you to flood this altar, but I need you to just respond where you're sitting. I believe in this room that if we're going to make this difference, if we're going to be this people that Joel is speaking to, and we'll continue in this series, and I'm telling you, this is going to be an explosive series on the book of Joel. It is prophetic for now. Not only was it for Joel's time, but it's for now. Not only was it with the Assyrians, but it's for now. And God's giving us a word that in this season, we can have the victory. Hallelujah. And all over this room, you say, Pastor, you know what? I'm tired of being normal. I'm tired of just being nominal. I'm tired of just showing up and being a number. Look no further, God. I'll be that man or I'll be that woman that stands in the gap. Look no further, God. I'll be one of the righteous that won't compromise my life. I'll be one, God. I'll go where you send me and I'll do what you tell me to do, that I might preserve a generation for Christ. That's you today. You say, oh God, hear my prayer. And I mean this. I want you to respond if you feel the Holy Spirit telling you. You know you need to do it. That's up to you, God, between you and God. But this morning you'll say, Pastor, that's me. I've got to become that righteous remnant on the earth. I realize my destiny, my calling. I've got to get back to it. I can't let myself drift. I can't go any further away. I've got to plant my feet. I've got to be the salt of the earth. If that's you, no one looking around, on the count of three, are you ready? I want you to shoot your hand up. One, two, three. That's you. Hold it up. Say, that's me, Pastor. I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I can't wait any longer. It's me. I've got to do it. And I promise to do it. Everybody up on your feet. Everybody up on your feet. Everybody up on your feet. Come on. Come on. Begin to throw your hands up in the heavens. Throw your hands up in the heavens. Come on, sing it, brother. Come on, lift up your hands before the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing it with me. Righteousness is what I need. Yes, Lord, that's what we need. Righteousness, righteousness is what I want from me. Yes, Lord, that's what you want from us, God. Sing it again, righteousness. Take my hope. Yes, Lord, take it, Father.
Take my mind.
Take it, Lord.
And transform me.
Let's get communion ready.
Take my mind.
Bring communion. Oh, Jesus.
Conform me to yours, to yours, Lord.
Come on up here and sing, girls. Sing it again. Come on.
Holiness. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need.
Come on, MJ, sing it. Yeah.
Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
Come on, worship the Lord. Worship Him. Yes, Lord. Want to receive communion on this section here, I want you to come. This section right here, would you come? And then this section over here, middle, hold up for a second. Those that want to receive communion on this section, would you just come, receive the elements right now? Just at will, come and receive them. We need more people down that way by the flags, guys. Bon, if you would you mind moving down by the flags over there, please? Yeah. And then, Doris, would you come down here and just take that position there? Thank you. That last song you were going to sing that we never got to, your last song that you were going to sing, yeah, could you do that? Do you know it? The one you were going to do in the worship. Yeah, yeah, would you do that song for me? I appreciate that so much. You can walk out this way if you want to receive communion as well and get the elements. Those of you who could come this way as well as that way. And we're just going to go ahead and receive the elements and partake of communion together as a way of recommitting our life to Christ, recommitting our life to Jesus, and just saying, Lord, you are the righteous one, and we want to live righteously. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Better than life. Is that the song? Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 All right. Praise God. Now, if we could just split the middle down here, and if this half here can come out this way and go to this left side in the middle, and this side over here can just come down this side as well and receive the communion elements, that'd be awesome. Praise God. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah.